Malachim Beis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Hey, twang! An arrow has gone right through the chest of Yehoram, between his arms, sticking out from the back to the front, and he is dead. Vayomer El Bidkar Shalisho. And so, Yehu said to Bidkar, his captain, and we know that all of the soldiers have in fact declared their loyalty to Yehu, which was a good choice, as it's turning out. Saw hashlichehu bechelkas sedei navos haYisraeli. Pick him up and throw him into the sade, into the portion of navos the Yisraeli. Ki zecharani vo'ata es rochvim tzimadim acharei achovaviv. Because remember, he reminds Bidkar, how you and I were riding together behind Achav, his father, Ruchvim Tzimadim Tzemed, like a team. So we were riding in tandem behind Achav. V'Hashem nasa olav es hamaso hazeh. And God pronounced against him this decree. And what was this decree? Chavavim lo es demei davos es demei vanav ra'isi emesh nu Hashem. Surely the blood of Navos and the blood of his sons have I seen last night, God said. V'shidlamti l'cha b'chelka hazos ne'um Hashem. And I will repay you in this same portion, this same piece of land. That was where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that Achav's family, Achav and his sons, would pay blood for the bloodshed of Navos and his sons. Because remember that we said that Achav wiped out, he massacred Navos' entire family, so that he would be the only heir remaining to get this field, also that he could turn it into a place where he could take a spazier. He could take a pleasant walk in a pleasure garden. And so you're going to get repaid in the exact same space, and that's what Yehoram is going to pay the price. So therefore, Saw, he tells Bidkar, pick him up, hashlichehu bechelka, and throw him into the portion, kidvar Hashem, as God has spoken. So apparently Bidkar found it a little objectionable that he should suddenly be a grave digger and that he should be moving bodies around. So Yehu, who's talking to his highest ranking officer, said, don't think it's beneath your dignity to attend to a corpse. He's a king, he's the son of a king, and we served his father Achav as well. So look how much of a hair trigger Yehu was on. He faithfully served the father. He faithfully served the son. And he gets one nevuah, and it's like flipping a switch. His loyalty has been switched off. His own ambition has been switched on. And we've seen people, politicians, who turn on a dime as soon as they get an opportunity. Think about Kathy Hochul, the woman who was never supposed to be governor. Lieutenant governor is a thankless job. It's like being vice president. And the former vice president of the United States under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which was a really thankless job because he won four terms, John Nance once said, being vice president is like a pitcher of warm spit, he said. It's not good for anything and it's disgusting and you're stuck with it. Well, suddenly now, Yehu is really moving up. So Bidkar said, so why have you commanded me to throw his body in the field? The Medrash fills in the conversation. That's not respectful. It wasn't respectful for you to kill him. So you're telling me treat the body with respect because he's a king, I'm son of a king, but look what we did. We assassinated him. But Yehu brings it back by saying, Kidvar Hashem, it was all God's word. He had to be killed here as part of the curse against Achav and his family. His body has to lie here in the field so that everybody knows that I killed him, not to take away his kingdom, no, never, but to fulfill the prophecy. So I have no ambition, says Yehu, who is probably more ambitious than anybody in town. So since they had witnessed the decree, they were the proper ones to take the nekama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now some say the dam of his ibanim, Demei Vanav, of Navos, these were unborn children because he never got to have them once he was dead. But others say, as we said before, that he wiped out the entire family so that he can inherit the land. Now, Chav Zayin, va'Achazya melech Yehuda ra'a. So, Achazya, the king of Yehuda, somewhat distantly cousin of Yehoram, who had come out to make war alongside his kinsmen, saw everything that had happened by Yohanan. And he took off. He ran away. And he fled Derech Beis Hagon. Using the path, Derech Beis Hagon, literally Derech Beis Hagon, means the opening of the garden path. So Rashi says, Mi Yisrael L'Shomron, from the Gan that Achav had made out of Navos's field to get back to Shomron, to the capital. So that's the Derech Beis Hagan, never to forget what motivated Achav to do these terrible things in the first place. Now, the thing is, Shomron isn't necessarily all that safe for Ahaziah either. He's the Melech Yehuda, and he's in foreign territory, and now Yehu is the new usurper. But you're the Vacher of Yehu, and so Yehu chased him. Because that's a matter of professional pride now. You don't let anybody get away. Once you're wiping out, you really wipe out. Vayomer gam also hakuhu el hamerkava. Him too, said Yehu. Smite him in the chariot. Get him. Nobody escapes. And, in fact, Bema legur asher es yivla am. So, hakuhu el hamerkava bema legur asher es yivla am. That's really how the whole sentence flows together. So, he on the ascent of Gur, going up to Gur, near Yivla'am, that's where they got him, by Yonos Megiddo. And he was wounded. He had been smitten. And so Ahaziah limped over to Megiddo, by Yamasham, and he died there. Chavches, v'yar kivu oso avod of Yerushalayim. So what are his servants supposed to do? So they drove him back to Jerusalem in the slow-moving limo, v'yikbu oso b'kvu raso, imav oso b'ir David. And they buried him there in his tomb with his forefathers in the city of David. So, Yehu is now not just an assassin of one king. He has murdered two kings. And in Divrei Yamim, it explains that Ahaziah's downfall was also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that he came to Yehoram at all was so that he would be with Yehoram with when Yehu ben Nimshi would kill them. And Yehu had been told to wipe out the entire house of Achav. So along with that went Ahaziah, hiding in Shomron, it says in Divrei Yamim. And they brought him to Yehu, and he killed him. So they, according to the Divrei Yamim version of the story, they dragged him out of hiding, and they killed him right there. They executed him, and they buried him. Now, that's a contradiction to our account, which says that he died in Megiddo and that he was then carted home to be buried. And the other, in Divrei Yamim, says that he was captured in Shomron and executed by the orders of Yehu. So one possibility is that he was wounded, he ran to Megiddo. Megiddo was obviously going to fall to Yehu, so they took him to Shomron out of Megiddo. So it was an extra step. And where he died might not be literal. It might be that he fell into a coma in Megiddo. It was as if he were dead, and then they executed him in his coma. But either way, Yehu is pretty brutal. We're going to see an awful lot of that in the next two prakim. Yehu is just an absolute brute of a man. What did Ahaziah do that was so bad? Just to wrap it up, we're a little over time, I'm sorry. But Ahaziah, when he went to visit his brother-in-law in Shomron, he committed a terrible Avera, according to the Medrash. He scraped the names of Hashem off of a Sefer Torah. And he scrawled in the names of pagan gods instead. So he did this in secret up in Shomron, where idolatry was acceptable. So Ahaziah had done a terrible deed, and so he is going to pay for it. And in fact, Ahaziah's time is up before it even started. We'll see one more Pasuk Chavtes about Ahaziah, but it's kind of retroactive and it's too late. Yehoram stayed king for quite a long time. Ahaziah doesn't get to be king for very long in Yehuda.